kill myself, Remy growled.
It's not about any of that, General Breaker said, interrupting the brothers before their spat could go on any further. He directed his next words to AJ. If I had it my way, we wouldn't be asking your brother to come either, Lieutenant Cole.
The truth is, the Sarkins have set him apart as someone special.
They call him a gatekeeper, or a prophet. We've discussed this with our own allies across the universe, and they agree. Remy is something special, and we'll need him here.
Sir, Rambo spoke up for the first time, if I may, it seems you already have allies. Wouldn't it be easier to reach out to them for aid when the Sarkins attack?
Point taken, General Breaker spoke up. Our allies are offering knowledge as help, and if Earth is attacked, I'm sure they would stand with us. Right now, they have their own issues they're sifting through. If we can stop the Sarkin invasion before it comes to that, we may be able to spare the burden of asking our allies for aid, as well as sparing the Earth an invasion.
We're going on the offensive? Jones asked, flexing the muscles on his massive forearms.
I like the sound of that.
We're going on an information-gathering excursion, General Breaker corrected. Our allies have given us information on a planet that may hold the key to defeating the Sarkins before they ever get to Earth. We want you to go.
There it was. AJ saw it coming a mile away. He already knew he was going. His brother wouldn't back down, and neither would his team. He couldn't let this opportunity go either. It was ingrained into who he was to accept any challenge placed in front of him.
Can I take my dragons?
Remy was the first to speak up after their mission was set in front of them. General Breaker was silent a long moment.
I have been authorized to offer you a deal, Remy. You may have your dragons back, as well as the mechanical dog, but only if you allow us to study them. And you.
Me?
The general nodded.
We need to understand how you can open a gateway without the sphere. If we can mimic that ability, then we may gain the upper hand in this invasion. Will you allow us to do that?
You won't do anything to hurt them.
The general's eyes twitched, but after another lengthy pause, he agreed.
I can live with that. Just don't hurt them, please.
Remy looked over at his brother, a sly grin capturing his lips.
Reporting for duty, Lieutenant Cole.
Chapter 3 Remy. Remy couldn't hide his impatience as AJ rolled him down the hallway leading to the medical area. The general informed him he had to report there before being allowed to collect his dragons. He was worried about Hank, but his dragons were scared. He felt it, and it was causing his anxiety to rise. He didn't understand why they wanted him back here. They'd already run every test known to man on him. If they made him suffer through one more scan, he might break bad, steal a computer, and hack them to make sure the whole medical wing went down. Being back in this makeshift hospital just hammered home his fear of never being able to walk again. I couldn't explain why his legs weren't working. The rest of his muscles had recovered from the shot meant to stun the nervous system, the round he'd taken in the back during their escape from Sarka. And Remy was terrified. It was true, you never missed something until it was gone. And right now, he had no feeling below the waist. All the things he'd taken for granted came rushing to the forefront, and he wanted to cry. But he didn't. His father taught him, you manned up and dealt with what life threw at you. And if he lost his legs to help free an entire people who had been enslaved, he'd man up and deal. But only after a long, long time of denial and pity. He was in the self-pity phase at the moment, and planned on staying there a good while. Once anger and resentment kicked in, he'd probably hold on to those for a long time, too.
Hey, you know what they want you back here for?
AJ finally asked.
No.
What did they say about your legs? AJ tried again. I would have thought the effects of that round would have worn off by now.
He stayed silent. He hoped to God he didn't cry like a baby in front of his big brother. The one person he looked up to the most, even more than his dad.
Rem?
AJ stopped pushing him and came to squat down in front of him when Remy didn't answer him.
Hey, what's going on, kid?
Hi. He glanced away and cleared his throat.
Oh, I can't feel my legs.
AJ was the one who stayed silent this time, waiting him out.
They don't know why. There's no reason for it.
Maybe the legs just take longer to regain their feeling? Remy shook his head.
No, my upper body works perfectly fine, but nothing below the waist. The doctor, she said it might be permanent.
AJ's expression never changed, but his eyes went hard. No, I don't accept that. It was a non-lethal round meant to stun. We need to talk to Sister Magdalene. She'll know what to do.
I already asked for her, but they said she was being debriefed.
Remy slumped in the wheelchair, finally letting the depression that had been on the edge of his consciousness all day overtake him.
What if I can't walk again, AJ?
Hey now, none of that. Remember, Dad says to never borrow trouble. Until we speak with Sister Magdalene, we're not going to assume anything. You got me? Remy nodded, but down in his soul, he knew it was bad. They weren't even on Sarka, where they could give him mechanical legs to replace his bad ones. He was stuck here, in this wheelchair, unable to walk or run or go out with his friends on the weekends. Sure, he spent a good chunk of his time in front of a computer screen, but he also enjoyed being outdoors as much as his brother did, thanks to all the outdoor activities their dad forced them to do growing up. AJ stood and began to wheel him down the concrete hallway. While Sarka had been all black rock and fire, this place was boring in comparison. Everything was concrete. He had yet to see any real color in the place, except for the medical wing. Plain and boring gray. It only helped to heighten his depression. The med bay, as AJ called it, was a stark contrast to the rest of the building. Everything was white, right down to the uniforms the staff wore. A clean room. Or at least that was what he thought of when he looked around. It reminded him of that scene in Independence Day when they all arrived at Area 51 and saw the stark white room. Dr. Jensen, the woman who treated him earlier, came forward when she saw them, a smile on her face, which only served to irritate Remy. Why was she smiling like everything was fine when he couldn't feel his freaking legs? The good doctor was in her early 40s, her light brown hair and deep brown eyes a contrast in and of themselves. She wasn't beautiful, but there was something about her that made you stop and take a second look. She had this something. Remy acknowledged it, even as he dismissed it. She was way too old for him, and he wasn't into cougars anyway.
Hello, Lieutenant Cole.
She stuck her hand out, and AJ shook it. He could tell from the look of interest on AJ's face that he'd noticed the good doctor's appeal. He doubted AJ was into older women either. Besides, he had Rambo. Well, he would when he manned up and did something about his feelings. Doctor. AJ returned the greeting.
What can you tell me about my brother's situation?
A heavy sigh left the woman.
We've done every conceivable test we can think of, but we haven't found a reason for his paralysis. The spinal cord does not appear to be damaged, and there's no nerve damage to the individual limbs, as far as we can tell either. Without more information on what caused the initial paralysis, I'm not sure there's anything we can do.
Then why did you demand we come back here? Remy grouched, ignoring his brother's reproachful expression. He was mad, and they were going to deal with it. The doctor frowned, not expecting his hostility.
I wanted to check to see if you had regained any feeling, and I was hoping your brother might be able to shed more light on the injury.
I'm not sure what I can tell you that Remy didn't. AJ flexed his mechanical hand. Remy didn't even think he was aware of it, but the doctor was.
Her gaze zeroed in on it with interest. The person you should be talking to is Sister Magdalene. She knows more about it than either of us.
She hasn't been cleared from debriefing yet.
The hesitation in her voice made Remy wonder exactly what they were putting the Sisters of Eon and the other refugees through. He knew they had to be scared, especially the slaves they'd freed. They'd gone from one imprisonment directly into another.
Well, she needs to be cleared.
The steel that came into AJ's tone even made Remy sit up straight. His brother had gone into soldier mode. She has the answers we need.
That's not up to me,
Dr. Jensen said. Then find me who has the clearance so I can speak with them. AJ turned away, dismissing her. It did not sit well with the good doctor. Remy saw it in her face, but she turned away and went back to the same workstation she'd been at when they arrived. She picked up the phone and waited.
You don't think they're hurting them, do you?
Remy asked.
They came to help us, to get free.
They're not going to hurt them. Even AJ didn't sound like he believed his own words, though. Remy understood his brother was a soldier, used to following orders without question. But not knowing what happened to the people he'd brought here had to be weighing on him. He cared too much about others. Remy felt his anxiety ratchet up a notch. His dragons were afraid. It wasn't like before. This fear was deeper, stronger. What was wrong? He rubbed at his chest, trying to ease the feeling, but it wouldn't go away.
I need to get to my dragons, he said. Can we go there and come back here after?
They're fine, Rem. AJ brushed his worries aside. We need answers about your legs. The dragons are being taken care of.
Then why are they terrified? Remy growled.
How do you know that? AJ cocked his head, staring down at him curiously.
Because they're imprinted on me, remember? I feel everything they do, and vice versa, and right now, they're so scared they can't stand it.
AJ blinked several times as he digested that knowledge. Not that Rem could blame him for being taken aback. They'd all had to accept their worlds had changed, and would never be the same again since they first laid eyes on the Sarkans. Imprinting on dragons was just another weird thing that became a part of their reality.
They feel what you feel?
AJ asked.
Rem nodded.
Didn't he just say that?
Then maybe they're afraid because you are,
AJ suggested softly. You're terrified, Rem. I know you're trying to man up and hide it, but the thought of never walking again has you scared. Maybe they're picking up on it.
Remy opened his mouth to deny it, but the sight of General Breaker striding into the room hushed him.
Rem hadn't been able to get a read on the guy since he'd shown up when they escaped from Sarka. He kept his expression blank and his eyes empty. He'd seen no emotion at all from the general, and that intimidated Remy more than anything. He could deal with bullies, megalomaniacs, or just plain arrogance, but not the emptiness that was the general. The general ignored them both and went to speak with the doctor, who sent several nervous glances their way. The general looked none too pleased to hear what she was saying. Perhaps now she understood how he'd felt when she told him there was nothing else she could do, and he probably wouldn't walk again. AJ nudged him with his elbow, and he looked up to see his brother wearing the same blank expression as the general. He'd seen more of the soldier in AJ than he had of his brother since they'd been picked up by this secret military outfit. He wasn't too sure he liked how his brother obeyed orders blindly and never questioned what he was told. He seemed to accept everything they told him. They had to have drilled that into his head over the years. Remy hoped to God he never forgot how to question everything. Questions led to solutions, better solutions that could keep people from getting killed. That was how he saw it, anyway. He didn't think the military did, though. The leaders were used to barking out orders and having them obeyed without so much as a huh? Not Remy. He had the feeling these guys were going to want to strangle him before they were done with him. He planned on asking lots of questions simply because he wasn't a G.I. Joe who knew to shut up and do as he was told. Stepford soldier? He was not. Behave, AJ said, clearly reading Remy's expression correctly. You have to, but I don't. AJ shook his head, glancing sideways at the general and the doctor, still deep in discussion. Rem, these guys can help. Don't piss them off to the point they send you home. This is your chance to get out of all the trouble you're in back home. By trouble, AJ meant the pending trial hanging over Remy's head for hacking his hometown's traffic lights and causing an accident in which a police officer got hurt. Something he regretted. He'd never meant for anyone to get hurt. You think? Yeah. Remy opened his mouth, but instead of the questions he meant to ask, a scream came out as pain sliced into him. A pain so deep, he threw up right then and there. Rem, what is it? What's wrong? It wasn't his pain or his fear. My dragons, he gasped out. They're hurting my dragons! Chapter 4 Remy. Remy's chest burned, and his side ached like he'd been sliced open from God only knows what, and his left arm was a raging mess of pain. They were hurting his dragons. He felt every injury they inflicted upon the poor creatures. AJ hadn't waited for the general or anyone else. He'd taken off running, pushing the wheelchair ahead of him. They knew where the dragons were being kept. They'd been given directions to get there. Faster, he urged his brother, hating that he couldn't run, couldn't get to them himself. They were terrified and in pain. All of them, not just one, but all of them. He could hear shouting behind him, but neither he nor AJ paid it any mind. AJ turned down the hall, and they piled into the elevator, the doors sliding closed as three guards reached them, the general right behind them. For once, his brother had ignored orders. He was in too much pain to say thank you, or even be awed that the good soldier had disobeyed. When the doors opened, five armed Marines were waiting for them. Rem growled at them, but they had guns trained on the two of them. AJ made a frustrated sound when they were ordered out of the elevator and had to wait for the general to come down. When the doors opened again, a very irritated man stepped out. He'd been expressionless before, but defying a direct order seemed to have finally made him break free of that countenance. When you are told to stop, you stop, the general barked into AJ's face. To his credit, AJ didn't so much as flinch. Now tell me why you ran out of there like the devil himself was after you.
They're hurting my dragons.
General Breaker frowned down at him.
Why would you think that? Because I feel it.
Remy cradled his injured hand.
Every injury you inflict on them, oh, I feel like it's being done to me.
The general's frown deepened. Explain.
They imprinted on me,
Remy said, not even trying to hide his anger from the man.
Their lives are tied to me. If they die, I die, and vice versa.
Another blinding flash of pain coursed down Remy's back, and he bent over, letting out a cry of pain.
AJ!
General, if you don't have your Marines stand down, I will not be responsible for what I do to them. AJ flexed his arm, the thing shifting back and forth between one of the alien weapons from Sarka and a wicked-looking knife. It had to be some kind of muscle memory. I still haven't gained control over it. The general nodded and gave the order to stand down. He walked ahead of them down the hall to the place the dragons were being kept. He punched in a code and opened the door. What they saw would haunt Remy forever. His dragons were tied down to metal tables, and people in white coats stood there, using blades and some kind of liquid to torture them. They were experimenting on them.
You lied to me!
Remy shouted, his anger overpowering every other emotion. A rage unlike anything he'd ever felt rose up in him. The need to hurt, to cause them the same kind of pain and fear they'd inflicted upon his dragons, seized him, and before he even understood what was happening, a light burst forth behind his eyes, the same golden light full of equations and lines. The sphere's light. A wave of energy rocked the room, knocking everyone off their feet, and Remy spilled out of his wheelchair. He started dragging himself toward his dragons, ignoring everyone and everything else. He had to save them. No one came near him as he pulled himself along the floor. He got to the tables, which had fallen over as well, succeeding in only scaring his baby dragons more. Remy wasted no time in reaching for Zeus, the first one he came to. The silver dragon was tied down with some kind of rope. He looked around for something to cut him free, but there was nothing. Tears sprang to his eyes as he was helpless to free the little creature, straining to get to him. "Easy, kid." AJ knelt down beside him and used the small scalpel he must have picked up on the floor to cut the dragon loose. It squawked and crawled to Remy, its wing damaged from a long cut that slashed down the entire length of the left appendage. "How dare you?" Remy looked up and met the expressionless eyes of General Breaker. "You promised me you wouldn't hurt them." Hades, the red dragon, and his brother Poseidon, the blue dragon, were set free and transferred to Remy's lap by AJ. They calmed the minute they reached him, but they were all crying in pain from their injuries. The general said not a word. In fact, no one did. They hurt these poor creatures, and no one had anything to say for themselves? Remy's lips curled in disgust. He dismissed them and gathered his dragons close, trying to show them how sorry he was that he hadn't come for them sooner. He promised no one would ever hurt them again, even if he had to escape and go hide in another world with them. No one would ever hurt them again. "I want to go home," Remy said, holding the little creatures tight. "I want to go home now, AJ." "Rem?" AJ broke off and looked around him, and it was only then that Remy really paid attention to the lack of sound. He looked up and saw several people on the floor unmoving, almost all the surgical tables and equipment lying on the floor, and the general stood, the armed Marines at his side, with their weapons drawn. What was going on? AJ? He looked again at the man who'd been beside Zeus. He wasn't moving. AJ, what happened?
I don't know. You tell me, kid.
Me? Why would I know what happened?
Because I think you did this.
AJ squared his shoulders and turned so his back was to the rest of the room.
You were angry, and then this whoosh of air rose up. Your eyes started glowing yellow, like the sphere does when it's activated. And then he broke off and took a deep breath. And then there was a blast of energy like an earthquake. We all went down.
Remy's hands shook as he tried to calm his dragons, who were getting worked up again because he was.
He did this?
He shook his head.
It was impossible.
His eyes strayed to the people lying motionless on the ground. AJ's gaze followed his.
Are they dead?
He forced the words out, afraid to voice them. AJ walked over to the first person and checked for a pulse. His shoulders sagged.
Oh, God, please don't let me have killed them, Rem thought.
AJ repeated the action for every person who was down. When he turned back, Remy read the relief there in his eyes. He hadn't killed them.
No, they're not dead. Just unconscious.
We need to get a medical team down here stat, though. He turned his attention back to the general.
Sir?
General Breaker nodded, and one of the soldiers pulled out a small black radio, asking for a med team to be sent down to research and development. It wasn't until that was done that the general approached Remy like he was some kind of wild animal. He kept his movements slow and deliberate.
This was not done on my command.
He took several deep breaths
and Remy saw the first signs of anger beginning to brim in his expression. They were told to study the dragons, but nothing else. Someone got over-eager, and I promise you they will be dealt with. Harming them was never my intention.
Like Remy believed him. He'd seen enough movies to understand how these things worked. They could lie all day to him. But it didn't matter. He was going to go home, and he was taking his dragons and Hank.
"Where's Hank?" he demanded,
a whole new fear overtaking him.
"Hank?" the general asked, confused.
"His metal dog," AJ clarified. "Remy had me bring back the one specimen so no one would touch Hank."
"Ah, yes, the biomechanical dog," the general nodded. "He's down the hall. We can check on him. And no one had better have touched him."
AJ helped Remy back into his wheelchair, and then placed the dragons very carefully in his lap, wincing when Hades let out a strangled chirp. He was burned on his left shoulder all the way down to the claws on his short arms or legs, or whatever you wanted to call them. Once he had them settled, they followed the general down the hall to another room, similar to the ones the dragons were in. Hank was in a cage, pacing, while the other specimen they'd brought back had been completely dismantled, and several people stood around studying it.
"You cut his brother open in front of him," Remy raged, gaining the attention of everyone in the room.
The soldiers' weapons came up to point at him, and his brothers stepped in front of him, weapons down.
"Sir, we can't do that. He's dangerous," one of the soldiers spoke.
"He's not dangerous," General Breaker said, and ordered them to lower their weapons. "He's more special than we could have ever realized, and the best weapon we may ever possess."
"I am not a weapon.
What was he going on about?"
"Son, you are, and you don't even know it. I think the power of the sphere resides in you, in your DNA. And when you saw those dragons in pain, it activated in you, much like it does with the sphere."
Remy bit back the snarky reply he had prepared. The sphere's energy resided in his DNA? The Emperor had said he was a descendant of the ancients, and that was why he could harness the sphere, could see every address it knew. His brain accessed it like a computer program, deciphering code and finding the addresses within the lines of patterns. The ancients hadn't needed the sphere to open doorways to other worlds. Neither did Remy. Was it possible? Could their gifts be hardwired into his DNA? AJ looked afraid for the first time since they'd arrived. Remy looked at the general, his mind playing through every scenario it could think of based on the facts he had. They needed a way to combat the Sarkans, to develop weapons and tactics to ensure not only the safety of the people that resided on the planet, but they needed to be able to hold their own amongst the races of the stars. What better way to do that than to have an ancient reborn on their side? He landed on one probable outcome. He wasn't going to be home anytime soon.
Chapter 5 AJ AJ stood in a wide-open room with beds set up in the middle of the floor. It reminded him of the many images he had seen on the news when a storm hit and civilians ran to a gymnasium to find shelter. It was clear the den was not prepared to accommodate the refugees he and his team had brought with them. These people just wanted to go home. The problem was their home was under the constant threat of the Sarkans. Bottom line, they had nowhere else to go. Even this place, with its cement floors, roll-out cots, and mediocre food, was heaven for them. AJ saw a little girl playing with her brother as they ran between the aisles of beds, laughing and squealing. There was easy conversation passed between the refugees, and ready smiles. "These people are stronger than we know," AJ thought to himself. "Displaced from their world and held here, they're not complaining or angry." AJ was still searching the crowd when Sister Magdalene found him. The tall woman in her long robe crossed the distance of the room. Her expression was warm and welcoming.
"AJ," she said, joining him.
Thank you for coming. How are things? Is there any news on what is to be done with us?
That was a fair question, and one AJ had been expecting. He was going to tell her the truth.
We don't have a plan yet.
I know we're going to take out the Sarkins. When we do that, you'll be able to go back to your own world, or maybe travel back with these people to their home planet and stay there. Sister Magdalene looked at him like he was crazy.
You're going to destroy the Sarkin Empire?
Yes, that's right, AJ said. We're going off-world to find a way.
Where? To what world?
Sister Magdalene asked. I don't know yet, AJ answered.
What weapon are you hoping to find?
I don't know, AJ said again.
Well, what do you know?
Sister Magdalene lost her calm demeanor. Her left eyebrow started to twitch.
We cannot stay here. You know the Sarkins are coming.
I know, and that's why I'm here. AJ cleared his throat, trying to take a moment and calm his temper. We're preparing a team to go off-planet and find this weapon to battle the Sarkins. I need my entire team healthy and ready to go. Remy was struck with a non-lethal round when we were making our escape. He was paralyzed from the waist down. I need your help to get him walking again. Sister Magdalene stood back and blinked a few times. Synapses were firing in her mind at a dizzying rate.
Do you think Remy is the best person to take with you?
Sister Magdalene hesitated. Go ahead, AJ urged her. Say it.
He's young and impetuous. His title as the gatekeeper makes him potentially powerful, but only if he is trained and learns to control his temper.
Sister Magdalene finished. No arguments with you there, AJ agreed, shaking his head. I know what my brother is. At the end of the day, I'd rather have him by my side and under my eye than anywhere else. And I agree with you, he needs to be trained. The first step in all of that is getting his legs back. Can you help or not?
I don't know if I can.
Sister Magdalene chewed her bottom lip for a moment.
If we were back on Sarka, perhaps I could harvest more of our biomechanical tech. The same tech that grew your arm back. But there's none here on your planet Earth. We need to go back to Sarka to get more, and, well, that seems unlikely.
Take some of mine, AJ said, offering his hand to the woman.
What?
You heard me, AJ said again, looking down at his arm. Take some of mine, and use it for Remy.
It doesn't really work like that,
Sister Magdalene shook her head. Listen. AJ skewered the woman with an intense, almost intimidating stare. My brother is going to walk again, whatever it takes. If you need to chop my entire arm to use this thing on him, then that's what we're doing. Do you get me? Others in the large room looked over with interest as AJ allowed his voice to raise. There was no panic in their gazes. As far as they were concerned, both AJ and Sister Magdalene were their saviors. Jael did come over. Sister to the Emperor of Sarka, she had turned her back on her brother and her own people to save the slaves as well as AJ and his team. Am I supposed to bow or something? AJ thought to himself as Jael approached. He decided against it, noting Sister Magdalene didn't either. Jael was pretty, not as tall as her counterpart, but regal nonetheless. She smiled at AJ.
How are matters progressing? Is there any way we can be of assistance?
Jael asked. Funny you should mention it, AJ said with a grin at Sister Magdalene. Remy still isn't able to walk after taking one of those non-lethal rounds during our escape. I need your help to see him walk again.
And I informed him that this would be impossible without more of the biomechanical nanos found on our homeworld, Sister Magdalene added. He doesn't seem to believe me. Perhaps the DNA structure AJ and Remy share as brothers will be close enough to allow us to harvest a portion from AJ and implant it into his brother,
Jael said with hopeful eyes. She looked at AJ first and then over to Sister Magdalene. Whatever it takes, AJ told her.
Perhaps, Sister Magdalene said, not willing to give in just yet. If that is possible, it would be a very painful procedure.
Pain so my brother can walk again? AJ asked, cementing his resolve. Any amount of pain is worth it to me.
You say that easily enough now, Sister Magdalene shrugged. We shall see.
Keep the words of encouragement coming, AJ said with a raised eyebrow. You're a light to me in this dark time.
Sister Magdalene either didn't recognize the sarcasm in AJ's voice, or chose to ignore it. She gave a slight head bow and left.
Is she always like that? AJ asked Jael.
Yep, most of the time, Jael said with a shrug. Her heart's in the right place. She means well. She just has a more pessimistic look on life. It's from her background, how she was raised.
And how was she raised? AJ asked.
Working class. Not as a slave, but a servant. Jael pursed her lips. She struggled all the way to the top to become the head sister. It was then she realized how corrupt and broken our leadership really was, beginning with my brother.
And you two partnered up? AJ asked, filling in the missing pieces of the puzzle. You're obviously against your brother as well.
He's lost, Jael said, shaking her head. A sad expression fell across her face. I love him. He is and will always be my brother. But I can't stand by and do nothing anymore. Someone has to do what's right.
AJ slowly nodded, finding a new level of respect for Jael.
He wasn't always like the man you saw, Jael continued, as if she felt like she had to stick up for her brother in some way. He used to be kind. Our parents died at an early age. He was given the throne much too soon. The mentors he had led him down a path of ruling through power and intimidation, not loyalty and respect.
Hey, you don't have to explain anything to me, AJ said,
biting back words he wanted to share.
His arm would always be a reminder as to exactly how he felt about Jael's brother. The Emperor had cut his arm off. If he got the chance, he was going to return the favor.
I know, Jael said, as if she were reading AJ's thoughts. I know you must hate him for what he did to you. Just know he wasn't always like that.
Okay, AJ said, telling the girl how he really felt, and what he would do to her brother if he ever got the chance would serve no one any good. So, you think you can really get Remy to walk again?
I'm sure of it,
Jael said, scrunching her perfectly plucked eyebrows in thought. And while I have you here, I'd like to ask you something, AJ continued, purely hypothetically. If Remy had a light that flashed out of the center of his head like a shockwave that took people out, what would that mean?
Hypothetically, I wouldn't know for sure, Jael said, catching on to AJ's meaning. There is much foretold about the prophet, who is also a gatekeeper, on what he or she can and cannot do. Unfortunately, those books are back on Sarka. I do know that gatekeepers are powerful beings. I'm not sure if their limits have ever been reached.
Wonderful, wonderful, AJ said, swallowing hard. Now that Remy is the last airbender over here, I have to undergo some kind of harvesting surgery so we can walk again, and the Sarkans are still on the way, AJ thought to himself. Well, on the upside, at least things can't get any worse.
If you are able to coordinate with your people, Jael started, we might be able to begin the procedure soon.
I'll see what I can do, AJ said, turning to go.
Is the Prof. Remy doing all right? Jael stuttered. I mean, I know he's unable to walk at the moment, so that may seem like a silly question, but how is he taking it all?
AJ was no stranger to the game men and women played when they liked one another. It was everything that Jael wasn't saying that told them there was something there other than simple friendship. It's a lot for anyone to take in. AJ looked around the underground structure to the crowd of refugees. It's a lot for all of us. He's doing the best he can at the moment.
He's a gatekeeper, Jael said,
reassuring herself and AJ.
He's stronger than he knows. He'll be fine.
AJ just nodded and headed for the doors. I'll be back soon with information on when we can start the procedure. Thank you for your help.
Of course, Jael said. We're in this together.
Chapter 6 AJ Convincing General Breaker to allow him and Remy to undergo the procedure was easier than AJ suspected. The General must have been coming up with his own plans on how to get Remy to walk again. He understood Remy needed to be involved in the process. After a short conversation, the plan was set. AJ was shown to a surgical room, prepped, and placed in a gown. Sister Magdalene and Jael were shown into the room along with Remy. A contingent of doctors, as well as General Breaker himself and a pair of Marines, stood at the far end of the room. They kept their distance, to give Jael and Sister Magdalene room to work. AJ was sitting in his paper gown, rotating his left arm over and around, taking a look at it for the 100th time. The dark metal shone in the bright lights of the room. Just how much of his arm they would have to take was yet to be seen. Sister Magdalene and Jael walked into the room with Remy, who was also in a paper gown. Jael wheeled him into the room. He looked uncomfortable at best, scared at the worst.
"So tell me why we have to be in paper gowns again?" Remy asked Jael. "Where are you going to stick the needle?" "The process should be simple enough, and we won't know for sure that it will work until we try," Sister Magdalene said in her matter-of-fact tone. "Usually, harvesting the biomechanical resource from someone and implanting it into another would not work. However, since you are brothers, we do have a slim chance."
"You're so optimistic, it's refreshing,"
Remy deadpanned to Sister Magdalene.
"All right, let's do this."
AJ watched as two male nurses helped lift his brother from his wheelchair to one of the two medical tables that stood side by side in the open room. Bright lights shone over both of them, providing more than enough illumination for the foursome. "Man, they really don't leave a lot to the imagination in these things, huh?" AJ asked his brother, trying to lighten the mood. "Every time I move, I get a breeze up my butt." Remy grinned. Although AJ was trying to make his brother laugh, there was a lot of truth in his words. The paper gown was secured behind him with four string ties. It ended above his knees, and if he moved the wrong way, he was sure he was giving everyone a show.
"Remember that time you tried to hop that fence behind the Brewers and your jeans got caught?"
Remy chuckled. "How could I forget?" AJ grinned at his little brother. "The chain-link fence caught on my pants and ripped the back end out. I ran bare-assed away from there like someone streaking at a sporting event." Both Coles chuckled at the memory.
"Hey, you don't have to do this," Remy said, looking up from his prone position on the table. "I mean, I don't know how much they're going to take from you, or if your arm will still be able to function."
"Stop," AJ said, waving away his brother's concern with a shake of his head. "There's nothing to worry about. They're going to take some of my awesomeness and give it to you so you can walk. That's it." AJ had no idea if it was going to be that easy. It probably wouldn't. There was no sense worrying his brother over it. He was going to go through with it if the odds were 1,000,000 to 1. There was nothing he wouldn't do for Remy.
"AJ," Jael said, coming up to the pair of brothers, "if you'll lie down on the table, we can begin."
"Roger that," AJ said, taking a deep breath and easing back down onto the cold table beneath him.
"If you could explain what you are doing as you perform the process, that would be helpful."
General Breaker spoke up from his position at the side of the room.
"This is all being recorded for our own benefit and future use should the need arise."
"What we're going to do is extract a small sample of the nanobot technology that healed and regrew AJ's arm," Jael said. "We will then introduce them into Remy's system and hope the two brothers' DNA is close enough that the nanobots will accept their new host and heal his legs."
"Sounds simple enough," Remy gulped.
I know this is going to be difficult, but I need you to try and relax,"
Sister Magdalene told AJ, as she stood over his left arm with a needle that looked more like a drill.
"I need your arm not to transition into a weapon. It will be more difficult for me to get a sample if it does."
"Right." AJ took a deep breath in through his mouth and let it out through his nose. "Happy thoughts. I can fly. I'm a real boy." AJ closed his eyes, trying to picture himself back at home with Remy and his mother and father. In his vision, Remy was in the backyard joking with their mother. AJ was at the grill with his father, where they were flipping burgers and preparing the night's meal.
"Do you need a countdown?" Jael asked.
"Surprise me," AJ said with his eyes still closed. AJ felt the pain like a knife digging into his arm. He knew if he cried out, it would make things worse for Remy. His brother was going through enough. AJ clenched his jaw as the pain grew in intensity. The middle of his left forearm was the epicenter of the pain, but the agony ripped across his entire arm. He quivered, moving his shoulder the tiniest bit.
"Easy," Sister Magdalene said. "Keep your arm in its normal state. No shifting."
AJ wanted to scream at her that he was trying. He wanted to yell at her to hurry, but he bottled it all and kept his mouth shut. He didn't trust himself not to cry out in pain if he opened his mouth. Cold sweat appeared on his brow and across his body as if by magic. His left arm quivered in pain despite him trying to remain stock still. What, in reality, couldn't have been more than a few minutes, felt like hours.
"We're in deep enough now and just need to extract a small portion," Jael said in an optimistic voice. "Hold on, AJ, you're doing great."
Lucky for him, the next portion of extracting the sample of the nanobots was quick. A cold sensation covered his arm as the needle was extracted.
"There we are,"
Sister Magdalene said with a tone of satisfaction. AJ heaved a sigh of relief. His arm still throbbed, but the pain was nothing like the searing knife blade that it had been before. Finally, he opened his eyes. The bright lights overhead made him blink. Just because he was out of the woods didn't mean the procedure was a success. Remy had to endure the needle first, and then they would be waiting to see if it actually worked.
"Did it hurt?" Remy asked as he looked over to AJ.
AJ turned his head to the right to catch his brother's gaze. "It didn't tickle."
"We'll need to make the injection at the base of your spine,"
Sister Magdalene said, as she approached Remy from the right side of his table.
"I'll need you to roll over on your side."
AJ saw the panic wash over his brother's face. Lying on his left side was going to leave the gown open to the pair of Sarkins. "Come on," AJ coaxed. "There's bigger things going on here. Just get it over with." Remy looked like he was going to protest at first, but then gave in. He rolled his upper body to the left, while Jael and Sister Magdalene maneuvered his legs one atop the other.
I need a countdown," Remy said in a rush. "Give me a 3, 2, 1, and then do it."
"Understood," Sister Magdalene said.
"You're going to do great, Remy,"
Jael said.
"This is going to work."
3, Sister Magdalene said.
2, 1.
AJ watched as his brother screwed up his face as if he were about to experience the worst pain in his life. A moment later, Remy opened his eyes with a concerned look in his eyes.
"I don't feel anything," Remy said, confused. "Did you do it yet?"
AJ began to chuckle.
"What?"
Remy looked angry.
"This is serious stuff here. I get that you're trying to lighten the mood, but laughing isn't helping."
"Remy," Jael said, trying to suppress her own laughter,
"the place where Sister Magdalene is placing the needle is already numb from your condition. You won't feel anything. You have the entire needle in you now."
"Oh," Remy said, scrunching his brow.
"Oh, okay then. Well, I didn't think of that."
It's okay, Wonder Kid, AJ said to his brother. No one expects you to. You have enough going on right now.
Okay, and there we are.
Sister Magdalene withdrew the needle. She placed it on a silver tray to her left.
Now we wait and see if it works.
How long will it take? AJ asked.
Oh, the effect should begin any moment now, if it did in fact work.
Sister Magdalene informed them as she and Jael worked on laying Remy on his back once more.
Do you feel anything in your legs?
Jael asked Remy.
Anything at all?
I don't know,
Remy said, shaking his head.
I can't tell if I actually do feel tingling, or it's my imagination, because I want to feel something down there so bad.
Jael went to the same silver tray where Sister Magdalene placed the needle. She came back with a tool that had a silver handle. A small wheel with spikes on it sat on one end. Jael gently rolled it up and down Remy's exposed left leg.
Do you feel anything?
Jael asked tentatively.
Anything at all?
AJ sat up in his bed to look and see if his brother would move his leg.
No, not yet,
Remy sounded worried. Easy, AJ said, trying to comfort his brother. Give it some more time.
She said we would know if it worked right away,
Remy said through clenched teeth.
I don't feel...
Remy cut off his words as Jael ran the tool down his right leg. Remy's right leg twitched, then jumped at the feeling of the cold silver tool.
There it is,
Jael said with a smile on her face.
I think I can feel my toes,
Remy said, reaching for his brother's outstretched hand to help him into a sitting position. Sure enough, Remy was wiggling his toes on his right leg and then his left. The doctors in the medical room, along with General Breaker, were stunned. A few of the lab-coated physicians even broke out in applause. Amazing, AJ said, grinning. Any amount of pain would have been worth seeing his brother walk again. Although the needle had been hell, he would have done it 100 times to see the picture of sheer joy on his little brother's face.
I can move them,
Remy said, trying not to cry.
I can feel them. I can feel my legs, AJ!
AJ hadn't seen his brother cry often. Even now, the younger Cole refused to let the water drain from his eyes. There was no denying, though, that moisture was gathering in them. AJ hugged his brother, who still felt like that little kid in his arms he had always been.
Thank you,
Remy said, hugging his brother close.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. You owe me one now, AJ said, removing himself from his brother before he started crying. I may need a kidney or blood or something in the future, and I'm coming to you for that, so you better be ready to pony up. Remy was just sitting there grinning like a fool as he wiggled his toes and shook his legs.
More feeling will come soon with the ability for you to walk,
Sister Magdalene instructed.
Give it some time to fully recover, and then for you to walk on them again.
AJ stepped to the side to allow his brother to enjoy the moment. Jael was next to him now, and the two were smiling at one another and congratulating each other like two kids who just won some kind of contest. General Breaker came to stand next to AJ. I'm happy for you and your brother, General Breaker said with a short smile. Enjoy this win. We need you out through the gateway tomorrow. Understood, AJ said, already mentally preparing himself for what would come next.
Chapter 7 Remy Remy sat in the room he'd been given, with a guard at his door, and slathered burn cream on Hades. The poor little guy cried pitifully, and Remy cooed at him like he would a baby. His other dragons were huddled in the armchair, watching. They were angry with him. Not that he blamed them. He'd let the general separate them when he knew it was a bad idea. He only hoped the dragons could forgive him. It broke his heart. He'd already been told they would not be going with him off-world today. It was an unknown place, and they needed to recuperate from their injuries. The general gave him his personal promise no one would touch them while he was gone. They'd be able to stay in his room, and the general said he himself would bring them food and water. No one else would go near them. Remy didn't trust him, but he couldn't see any other choice. The dragons felt his unease at the decision, and it only heightened their own distrust. They didn't want to be left behind, fearing someone would hurt them again. But again, what choice did Remy have? He also had another thing to worry about. It was something AJ either didn't realize or didn't care if he did. The biomechanical nanos that had been harvested from his brother were weaponized. Remy didn't have to regrow an appendage, but the nanos had bonded with his spine, grafted onto his bones, and had a direct pathway to his brain. Sister Magdalene was concerned she might have weaponized his entire body, not just healed his legs. They wouldn't know for a bit. He was overjoyed he could walk again. Not having his legs grow into metal poles was a huge plus. But he was still scared. What if he was walking along, and his legs shifted into some kind of weapon, and he fell, the weapon discharging and hurting someone? They had already rousted him out of bed this morning before 4 a.m. to run an MRI on his body. That was how they knew the nanos had grafted onto his bones. They'd seen the little suckers. Sister Magdalene hoped it meant he'd be harder to hurt and have a little extra healing. They'd only used a small portion of the nanos, but the little suckers could multiply at an alarming rate. Only time would tell, unfortunately. There was a knock on his door, and Jones strolled in. The big guy was dressed in fatigues and had a wicked-looking knife strapped to his leg. Remy forgot what it was called. Zeus raised his head and warbled. Jones eyeballed him warily. "He's only trying to tell you he's hurt, and he wants you to scratch his head."
"He tries to deep-fry me every time he sees me."
"He's hurt." Remy applied the last of the cream and gently wrapped the bandage around Hades' upper body. The poor little thing shook. Jones approached Zeus like he was a rabid dog. The other two dragons watched Jones with interest. You'd think Jones was trying to make friends with the Rottweiler on crack.
"Why aren't you dressed?"
Jones reached out his hand hesitantly, and the baby dragon swooped his head, wanting to be loved on. He just needed some comfort from the people he knew.
"Dude, I'm not wearing fatigues." "Dude, you're not coming with us stinking either," AJ said as he and Rambo entered. "You can only wear those jeans so long before they needed to be washed."
Rambo came over and ruffled Remy's hair. "How you feeling?"
"I can walk, so I'd say I'm good."
Jones stroked the little dragon's head, and a look of awe came over his face.
"He's not trying to roast me."
"I told you, he's hurt and needs his family to comfort him."
"His family?"
Jones asked, using his thumb to rub along the dragon's jaw.
"Well, duh. We're the only people he's been around since he was born. You and me especially.
He knows who his family is."
"Huh."
Jones gave the little fellow one last stroke and stepped back. He turned his head away, but Remy was sure he saw the big guy tear up. Jones was sensitive like that. Normally, he would have given him a hard time about it, but when it came to the dragons, he appreciated everyone who loved them as much as he did.
"Your brother's right," Rambo said after a minute. "He can't go in dirty clothes. What if we land on a planet with a race of super sniffers? They'd smell you coming a mile away."
Hank trotted out of the bathroom, and they all frowned. Did he even have the need to use the bathroom? Maybe he'd been getting water out of the toilet, but that raised the same question. Remy wasn't too sure. He hadn't eaten a thing last night, so maybe not. Remy would have to ask someone what they'd found out about the other specimen they brought back.
"Super sniffers? Really? Hey, we just saw dinosaurs for the first time in millions of years, so yeah, super sniffers."
AJ picked Hades up very carefully.
"Get dressed."
Remy grumbled, but got up and grabbed the fatigues still folded on his bed before heading into the bathroom. He had no desire to wear a soldier's uniform, especially after yesterday. 100% trust in people wasn't exactly his thing. And that was what these clothes stood for, at least to his way of thinking. He had to